deception, how God has called us out, even though we were dead in sin. He loved us in His Holy Spirit to us, and it just overwhelms the Apostle Paul. And I think I'm going to read the entire doxology, starting in verse 33. Let us hear God's word. Romans chapter 11, 33 through 36. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgments, His past beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. And then reading from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Let us go to the Lord. Gracious and Heavenly Father, You have blessed us in and through Jesus Christ. All glory and honor and praise belong to Him. You have given us Your word. You have even given us a right heart that we might receive Your word. And now, Heavenly Father, we ask that You would give us ears to hear, that You would bless the preaching and the hearing of Your word, and that You would exalt the name of Christ Jesus. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. In the story of Alice in Wonderland, Alice comes to a fork in the road, and she's frozen with indecision. She doesn't know what to do. Panic begins to overwhelm her. So she lifts her eyes to the heavens as if to look for guidance and illumination. But it's not God she sees. It's the Cheshire Cat. And so she asks the Cheshire Cat, which way should I go? What do I do? Cat replies, well, that depends. Alice says, depends on what? Cheshire Cat says, depends on where you're going. What's your destination? And Alice responds by saying, I do not know where I'm going. I do not know what my destination is. The cat responds by saying, then it doesn't matter which road you take. Destinations are important, aren't they? Without a proper understanding of where we are going, we certainly cannot have a proper understanding of how to get there. Thus, to understand clearly what road we must take, we must ask this question. What is the great purpose of mankind? What is the great end or the destination of mankind? Why am I here? Why was I created? You know, if this question is not rightly answered, you cannot even begin to rightly live. We have no ultimate direction. Then all we can do is stand still. And that gets us nowhere. But we are blessed by the Lord, and the Lord does not leave us just standing still with no direction. He gives us the scriptures, and the Apostle Paul tells us what the destination is for all of mankind. In Romans chapter 11, we read, for from Christ and through Christ and to Christ are all things. To Him be the glory forever. And Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, so whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. The Apostle Peter gives us his take. He says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Both Paul and Peter tell us the destination of everyone. And that destination is to glorify God. Each life, each individual, both Christian and non-Christian, their lives will ultimately work to the glory of God. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God's glory is the reason that you're here. God's glory is the reason for the creation. The reading of the first question of our shorter catechism is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. God's glory is the reason for your existence. God's glory is the reason for everything that's happened in your life and will happen in your life. God's glory is the reason for all the good things that you have done. God's glory is also the reason for all the bad things you have done. As our passage says, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Well, why is this? Why is it that from God and to God all things must be? Why is it that all things must work to the glory of God? Well, simply, the answer is simple. Because of who He is. God is independent. He is altogether self-sufficient. He is not dependent upon anything in the creation. He is not dependent upon anything outside of Himself. He is holy. He is perfect. He is infinite. He is eternal. Before the mountains were created, or before the earth was given birth, from everlasting to everlasting, He is God. There has never been a time when He did not exist. There has never been a time that there was complete silence, because there has always been conversation between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is God. He does not change. He remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not a time and space being. He has created time and space. He can enter into time and space, but He is not limited by time and space. 1,000 years in His sight are a moment in our time. He is the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega. All things are from Him and all things are for Him. As the early explorers traveled up the Mississippi River to find its beginning. So we have this spiritual river from Genesis to Revelation. And as we travel from Genesis to Revelation, we find that Christ is the source of all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke. And there was something. He marked all the dimensions of the universe. If you ever get a chance, here's some of these documentaries of these scientists who study the universe and the stars. And it's just so vast. And it keeps going, and it keeps going, and it keeps going. Christ laid that out. Every star, every planet, every comet, every inch of space, Christ created, and He created it for Himself. He has set the moon and the sun and the stars in their respective places. He established the mountains. He carved out the valleys. He holds the depths of the seas in His hand. He's made the changing of the seasons, the cool weather, the leaves turning. He commands the rain to fall, and the earth is watered. He holds back the rain, and the earth is dried up. He has put kings on their throne, and he uses those kings, whether they are good or bad, he uses them to accomplish his good purpose. And when his purpose for those kings being on those thrones is complete, then he removes them and he places another one there. From one man he made all the nations of the earth, and he set the times and the places where each would live. It is within him that we move and live and have our being. He feeds every living creature. He sustains the universe by the power of his word. God is independent, and we are dependent upon his independence. He is wise. We are ignorant. He is strong. We are weak. He is holy and righteous and just. We are evil. He is from no other except from himself. We are from no other except him. The psalmist says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." So it is God's royal decree to have all things work to his glory. Those in political office, they have certain privileges and rights that are theirs because of the office that they have. But when their time is up, then those rights and privileges go to another. Well, so too, God has rights and privileges that are his by the fact of who he is. And the first and foremost is that he will work all things to his glory. God gets his way, and he always gets his way. He's never frustrated by what happens on the earth. He's never taken by surprise. He sees all things. He knows all things. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, "In Christ we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glory." The writer in the Proverbs says, "The Lord works out everything for his own end, even the wicked for the day of disaster." Though the wicked rebel against him, though evil men hate him, what they do, what they seek to accomplish, all works to the glory of God. Well, if the glorification of God is the destination for all of us, male, female, Christian, non-Christian, good, evil, we've got to ask the question, what does it mean for us to glorify God that we may enjoy him forever? Now remember, it is to the glory of God that he is independent, that he is self-sufficient. If it is the glory of God that he is self-sufficient and independent, therefore it is the glory of mankind to depend upon God, to depend on his self-sufficiency. It is the glory of man, male and female, to acknowledge our our dependence upon God and the enjoyment of God will happen when we recognize our insufficiency and depend upon Him totally. Never are we so close to glorifying God. Never are we so close to having no gods before Him than when we depend upon Him totally. Dependence on God is the proper frame of mind for us to live each day. As someone would frame out a house, you know, in order to provide a good structure and a foundation, by depending every day to live dependent upon God's grace and mercy and wisdom and goodness is the proper foundation to build our life upon, to build our family upon, to build our businesses upon. Like the Christmas tree being adorned with ornaments. Our dependency upon God brings about a humble spirit that lights up our life. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Notice the things I'm going to lay out for you here. Notice the things that they are all things that are dependent upon God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The Apostle James writes, he says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. The prophet Micah says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Humility with God. Depending upon His independence is the mark of true humanity. It is the destination. It is the road we are to travel. And this is best seen, of course, in the life of Jesus Christ. If anyone was truly human, if any man was truly masculine, it was Jesus Christ. Yet notice His character. Notice His humble submission to God. Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, Christ Jesus, being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. What a picture of humility. The human nature of Jesus had to depend upon God's independence. He had to depend upon God being able to do all that God said He would do for Jesus. Jesus Christ is a perfect picture of not just humility, but of humanity as well. One who was rich in glory made Himself poor in glory for the sake of God the Father. He who was without sin became sin, that those whom the Father had set His love upon would be redeemed from their life of sin. It was not with self-confidence and pride that Jesus secured your redemption. Instead, it was with humility and submission to the Father that Christ secured your redemption. It was not in the power of His own hands that He sought security. It was in the hands of the Father that he sought security. And so it is with us. It is not in boasting of our abilities, our wisdom, our strength, our goodness, our riches. It is not boasting in anything in us that makes us become human. Granted, it makes us feel superior, but those feelings of superiority are sinful. Most sin initially feels right, but there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it destroys us. When fear and anxiety in life is high, when we become stressed out, it is because we're trying to play God. We're not seeking His glory. We're not seeking to rest in His independence. Instead, we're wanting to be independent from Him. That was the whole sin there in the garden, was it not? We want to manipulate God and others to do what we want. It's a worship of self, vainglory. It is the sin of the garden that you shall be as God. In closing, I want you to think about this. We would think it a monster if a dog were to fly and sing like a bird, because it goes against the very nature of what a dog is, of what God has created the dog to do. Well, in the same way, we become monsters when we are not what God created us to be. When we exalt ourselves, when we puff ourselves up with pride, when we refuse to humble ourselves before God, then it's not something of beauty. Instead, it's something that is very horrible. It is not humanity. Instead, it is a monster. Jesus says that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why is that? Because the rich man is not depending upon God. He's depending upon his wallet, his bank account. He's depending upon himself. And so Jesus says, it's very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Instead, those who are dependent upon the grace and the mercy of God, those are the ones who truly glorify God. And those are the ones who will enter into glory. Let us endeavor then to glorify God and enjoy Him forever by depending upon Him day after day, moment after moment, depending upon His goodness, depending upon His grace and mercy, depending upon His Word to give us direction so that we will travel the right path. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank You for Christ. We thank You that by His life He shows us what true humanity is. He shows us what path we should take. He shows us how to glorify You and enjoy You forever. Oh, Father God, impress upon us Your glory. Impress upon us Your grace and mercy. Give us humble hearts that we may depend upon You for all things. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's close our service today as we stand and sing a hymn of response. Hymn number 170.